Welcome to Journal Club for January 10th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. The year was 1985, and Ross Freeman had a problem. He was trying to design hardware solutions, that is, computer chips, that could be quickly adapted to evolving requirements. But the existing options of the day didn't fit. General-purpose microprocessors, ASICs, and hardwired logic boards weren't flexible enough. Programmable logic boards and devices weren't powerful enough. He needed a platform that was as capable as an ASIC, but could be reprogrammed after manufacturing, without the cost and time of creating a new chip for every use case. He envisioned a new kind of device that combined the efficiency and performance of hardware with the adaptability of software. A computer chip that could be iterated upon, modified and customized over and over again. The result was the world's first FPGA, the Field Programmable Gate Array. Field programmable means that it can be configured in the field, well after the manufacturing process. Gate array refers to the arrangement of configurable logic gates within the chip that can be programmed to implement a wide range of digital circuits and functions. The FPGA consisted of an array of what are known as CLBs, configurable logic blocks, connected by programmable routing. I find it useful to think of FPGAs like Legos. The CLBs are the actual blocks, and the routing and platform are like the green slab of Lego grass, the base plate that holds everything together. And like a kid playing with Legos, FPGAs allowed the engineers to design and implement custom functionality just the way they wanted, in many different arrangements, anytime they felt like it. This was a powerful new concept, and a game changer for rapid prototyping and small batch product development. 40 years later, FPGAs are everywhere. They're used in everything from telecommunications equipment to automotive systems to medical devices. Why? Because a lot of the software that exists isn't meant to run on a server or a desktop or a phone. It's meant to run on a sensor or a router or a control module. The software is too complex for a simple logic board, but it doesn't need all the bells and whistles of a general-purpose microprocessor. Plus, the environment might be significantly resource-constrained, so rather than use the type of chip you'd find in your laptop, it makes more sense to use a custom chip that can be tailored precisely to the workload it needs to perform. A chip that is capable of being physically, structurally adapted to the needs of the software that will run on it. A chip that, through this customization, can offer true hardware acceleration for the very niche role that it is designed to fill. When you have these kinds of needs, you're left with two main options, ASICs and FPGAs. The general rule of thumb is that if you have small batches, small budgets, or fast iteration cycles, go with FPGAs. And if you're producing in large quantities or have a large budget and extended timelines, ASICs may be a better fit. The paper we're looking at today explores a new toolkit that improves the efficiency of the process you use to design either one, ASICs or FPGAs. This toolkit is not a full EDA, which is like an IDE for chip design. It's more like a plugin or a bridge that can help you make better use of your existing tools. Although this software works for both ASICs and FPGAs, it's critical to understand that these two technologies, while they often fill a similar niche, are not actually the same thing. So before we dive into the details of this paper, we need to understand the distinction between them. We need to talk about what ASICs and FPGAs are, how they work, how they compare to each other, and how you would usually design and work with them. That'll give us the context we need to understand what this new tool does and how it can improve your workflow. Historically, ASICs came first, so let's start there. An ASIC, an application-specific integrated circuit, is a custom-designed semiconductor chip manufactured to perform a specific function or a set of functions. ASICs are built with a fixed architecture that is optimized from the factory for a single application. Its design process starts with a hardware description language, HDL, such as Verilog or VHDL, which describes the circuit's logic. This description is synthesized into a gate-level netlist, physically implemented through placement and routing of logic gates, and then fabricated into silicon using a foundry's process. A foundry is just what we call a factory that makes chips. ASICs are capable of achieving incredible performance, power efficiency, and compactness because nearly every transistor and connection can be optimized for the intended task. That being said, these benefits come at a cost. ASIC design is time-consuming, requiring months of simulation, verification, and validation before tape-out. Tape-out is the final stage of the design process where the completed chip layout is sent to the foundry. The whole fabrication process is also prohibitively expensive, often requiring millions of dollars for a single production run. And once produced, ASICs cannot be modified. This means that if you find a design flaw after delivery, too bad. You either live with it or modify the layout and start the production process over again. On the other side of the fence is the FPGA, the Field Programmable Gate Array. As I mentioned earlier, it's a type of semiconductor device that can be programmed or reprogrammed after manufacturing. It consists of CLBs, the Lego blocks, but also programmable interconnects and I/O blocks, the Lego grass or baseplate. Each CLB contains lookup tables and flip-flops, enabling the FPGA to perform combinatorial and sequential logic operations. Lookup tables are small, fixed-size memory arrays that implement combinatorial logic by storing pre-computed outputs for all possible input combinations. They act as truth tables, where inputs directly index the memory to produce outputs. Flip-flops, on the other hand, are sequential storage elements that store one bit of data, allowing the FPGA to register and synchronize signals with a clock. Programmable interconnects allow the CLB blocks to be connected in virtually any configuration, and I/O blocks manage communication with external devices. Like ASICs, FPGAs are programmed using a hardware description language, HDL, followed by synthesis, placement, and routing. All of that is performed by EDA tools, which we'll talk about more in a moment. It's worth noting that FPGAs are less efficient than ASICs in terms of power consumption, performance, and area usage. This inefficiency arises from the programmable nature of their architecture, which introduces overhead due to routing flexibility and inclusion of universal logic elements. So, how do you actually work with ASICs and FPGAs? Well, the key concept to understand is that rather than use an IDE or a text editor, you're going to be using an EDA. An EDA is an electronic design automation tool. For ASICs, the EDA enables the design, simulation, verification, and implementation of the integrated circuits. It's a long and exhaustive process. For FPGAs, the EDA helps the developer determine how a new design can best utilize the underlying resources and how the various logic blocks will connect. It also performs timing analysis to ensure that the circuit meets the desired clock speeds. And once the design is synthesized, placed, and routed, it generates a bitstream file, a binary configuration file that programs the FPGA's hardware to actually implement the design. In summary, ASIC EDA tools are focused on pre-production workflows, ensuring that the fixed design is flawless before fabrication, and FPGA EDA tools are used throughout the lifecycle of the device, supporting iterative development, reprogramming, and adaptation. Both workflows rely on EDA for synthesis, placement, routing, and timing analysis, but the flexibility of FPGAs reduces the stakes of the design errors compared to ASICs. That finally brings us to OdatiCS, the software being explored in this paper. OdatiCS is a specialized toolbox designed to complement and enhance traditional EDA workflows by automating key aspects of both the FPGA and ASIC design processes. It's a GitHub repository written mostly in Python, TCL, and Makefiles, and it is designed to integrate with existing EDAs in order to do three key things. 1. Streamline design space exploration. 2. Automate synthesis and simulation workflows. And 3. Unify results analysis across multiple configurations and hardware targets. Let's look at each one of those claims. OdatiCS streamlines design space exploration by allowing the user to evaluate multiple configurations of a design across a range of metrics, such as maximizing operating frequency, power consumption, and resource utilization. In the context of both FPGA and ASIC workflows, design space exploration involves testing variations in architecture parameters, for example, clock frequencies, pipeline deaths, or resource allocations, to optimize performance and efficiency under specific constraints. Traditionally, this process is labor-intensive, requiring engineers to manually adjust parameters, rerun synthesis and simulations, and consolidate results. Odatix simplifies this by allowing users to define parameter variations in a configuration file and automating the generation and implementation of these configurations. It supports parallel processing, enabling multiple configurations to be evaluated simultaneously, significantly reducing the time required to identify the best performing designs. It automates synthesis and simulation workflows by integrating with existing EDA tools and managing the iterative processes required for hardware validation. In FPGA, this involves generating bit streams to configure the logic for each design iteration, while in ASIC workflows, it includes generating and verifying gate-level netlists for physical implementation. Odatix leverages scripting capabilities in tools like Vivado, Design Compiler, and OpenLane to handle these tasks automatically, from RTL synthesis to place and route and simulation. This again means less manual intervention and higher consistency and accuracy in the design process. All this automation enables engineers to focus on higher level design decisions and move through the development cycle much faster. Finally, Odatix unifies results by consolidating data from synthesis, place and route, and simulation runs into a common format. Why? Because that allows for easy comparison across configurations and hardware targets. Evaluating trade-offs between different designs traditionally requires synthesizing results from disparate tools, each with its own output format and reporting style. But Odatix standardizes these outputs and provides a unified interface for visualization and analysis. This approach is not just about reducing manual effort. It's about ensuring that critical trade-offs are visible and actionable all in one place. That way, engineers can make better informed design choices. The authors tested and evaluated Odatix using the Asterisk processor and a few other devices to demonstrate the system's utility and functionality. As a proof of concept, they automated the synthesis, simulation, and validation processes and compared configurations. The results showed that it worked. Odatix enabled rapid exploration of hundreds of configurations, providing clear visualizations of trade-offs between performance and resource efficiency. The evaluation demonstrated that the system is capable of reducing the manual effort and time required for design space exploration while ensuring accurate and reproducible results. If you'd like to dive into more detail, read their code base, or use Odatix yourself, I encourage you to download the paper. It contains links to both their GitHub and their Read the Doc site, where you can walk through all of the documentation. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.